We're reading this morning from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Amen.
That's great, thank you. Now we're going to have a little think about that, because the angel was a messenger. Okay, so angels are basically just messengers who come with a message, and there is a message for us today. And I need your help, girls and boys. So I hope you are listening carefully to the reading, because we will be able to get to the message by just addressing the passage that was read. That Christmas tree is a little bit different from this one. This one only has lights. The Christmas tree in the picture has these baubles, and there are four of the baubles that actually have a letter on them. I wonder if you've got really good eyesight and you can see any of the baubles that have letters on them. Okay, so if you can see on one of the screens that some of the baubles have a letter on them, stick your hand up. Okay. Most of you, I think, probably need to go and see an optician then. Maybe just kind of book it into your diary for the start of the new year. Hopefully by the time we're done, we will be able to figure out where the baubles are that have the letters on them. But in order to see what they are, I need to ask you a question. What was the name of the lady who was going to have the child? Who can tell me what the name of the lady was? Luke. Mary, that's quite right. And what letter does Mary start with? The letter M, it starts with, yes? Shout it out. M, that's quite right, which is your letter as well, isn't it? So that's the M. And that bauble opens up, and there you now see that was hidden there. That letter M was hidden in the bauble all along. The M for Mary. And because we got that answer right, we get the first part of the message, which is not, okay? So we need now to figure out something else from the story. If you were listening very closely, Mary came from a town that was called Nazareth, and we're told that Nazareth was in a place called what? It was in a place called Hannah? Galilee, that's quite right. So we're looking for the letter G. Can you see the letter G? Hand up, you can see the letter G. Okay, you can see. That's fine. We'll bring the letter G up there. And that opens up another little part of the message, which is the word B. So we now got B and not. And we need now to think about what was the name of the man that Mary was to marry? What was the name of the man that Mary was to marry? Who can tell me that? Do you know? Yes, Mary. Yep. Joseph, that's quite right. Okay. It was Joseph, and that's the letter J. And so we bring the letter J up. Hands up, how many of you here are called Joseph or Joe? Any of you called Joseph or Joe? Okay, so we are in a small minority here. Okay, Joseph, and we get another one here. Do not be, and we're looking for another G here, another G, because the name of the angel, the name of the messenger, who can remember what the name of the messenger was? Any ideas what the name of the messenger was? Yes, Matthew. Gabriel, that's quite right. Anyone called Gabriel here? No? Okay, so the letter G, can you see where the last G is? How many of you can see where the last G is? Well, you do now, because it's on the screen for you there. That's the letter G, and that's now spelling out the word afraid. And we got a problem there because the word afraid is too big, okay? So we need to kind of shrink the letter, the word afraid, so that it fits into the box. And so we'll shrink it, which is really what the angel was saying, yeah, I can understand why you're afraid. I think you probably would be afraid if an angel pitched up here. I think you would get a bit of a fright. And so the angel kind of saying, yeah, it's kind of okay to be a little bit afraid, but hey, not that big afraid. Do not be afraid is what the angel was saying to Mary. Now, that's pretty important because all the way through the Christmas story, that's what the angel is saying. Again and again and again, that's what the angel said to Joseph. You can read about that in the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. The angel came and said to Joseph, do not be afraid. When the angel appeared to the shepherds out in the fields, guess what the angel said to the shepherds? First, yep, do not be afraid. Yeah, it's kind of like he's got it on repeat, just a kind of recorded message. He's got the message, and that's the message. He keeps on churning out, whether it's Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, whoever it is, do not be afraid. Now, we do well to stop and think, well, why? Why should we not be afraid? And that's where we need to do a little bit of thinking about what the angel said to Mary. And one of the things that the angel said to Mary was that the child who was going to be born to her, this child would be a word beginning with the letter G, okay, the letter G. And that's what the angel said. This child would be something beginning with G. G. Yep. Sam. God, yeah, he was going to be God, and he did say he's going to be the Son of the Most High, which is God. So yes, it is that, but it's a kind of adjective, a describing word, rather than the name of anyone. So it's a describing word. Yep, great. Okay, so we're going to put that up. Great. Okay, that's the first reason why we get to realize that we don't need to be afraid, because this child who was born, the Jesus that we celebrate his birth, he's around today, and he is great. And that means he's great in terms of how strong he is, great in terms of how wise he is, great in terms of how good he is just great. He is great to have around, and so when he's around, we don't want to be afraid of anything. Now, next thing, in order to kind of unpack those words down the left-hand side and just figure out why it is we're not to be afraid, what I need you to do is, if you are fit and able, just to stand up and turn around and look up at the window up there. This is another eye test. If you go out and get your eyes tested, then there are various different tests, and you've looked forward and had a look at the screen, and some of you can't see the baubles. Hands up if you can see any words right in the middle of that window at the back there. Okay, you can see some words up there. That's good. It's going to be even better if you can read what those words are. Who's going to shout out how many words are there to start with? Shout out. Three. Okay. You've got three words. There are three words there. They're not complicated words. They're not big words. We've already had one of the words from Sam as well. What are the three words? Who can tell me what the three words are? Yes. God with us, okay? That's what you are meant to remember when you come out of worship Sunday by Sunday and you leave through that door. Whatever you're going to have to face in the street and whatever you're going to have to face in the coming days, you're going to look up, remember that truth. God is with you. God is with us. That's what Jesus is. He's God come to be with us. And in the Bible, there is a special name that reminds us of that. Who can tell me what that special name is that reminds us God with us? It's a word that means, a name that means God with us. Anyone remember what that word is, that name is? We sing it sometimes with the song, O Come, O Come. Yes. Emmanuel, that's quite right. So we'll put that up on the screen as well. That's the second thing that we'll learn about this child who is born. Not only is he going to be great, in other words, he's going to be really strong, really good, really kind, really wise, really clever, and really able to help us, but he's able to be all of that because it's God who has come to be with us. And the third thing that the angel reminds us of, and reminded Mary of, that says, you don't want to be afraid of this, is not only is this Jesus going to be great, not only is he the Son of the Most High God, and he is God now with us, there's a third thing you need to know, and that is, he said something about his kingdom will, what? His kingdom will something. Yes, Sam and Matthew. Never end. You're absolutely right, which is amazing, because all good things usually come to an end, but the angels say, not with this one. This is the best of the lot, and he has come to be with you forever and ever and ever, and his kingdom never, ever ends. And that's a wonderful thing for us to get a hold of as well. This Jesus who was born back then, still around, because he's always going to be there for us. And one of the things that the Bible always underlines as well is that this Jesus is not only great, not only God with us, not only his kingdom never ends, but he is also wonderfully kind as well. Kind because he sees our needs, kind because he hears our cries, kind because he's always on the lookout for us and always eager to help us. And when you put it all like that, you can tell me, what are the first letters of the names read and spell out? Yes, you can read it. King, that's quite right. Okay, so now we're getting to be able to see your eyesight is pretty good. King. And that's one of the things that the angel was reminding Mary of, and one of the reasons why she wasn't to be afraid, why Joseph wasn't to be afraid, why the shepherds weren't to be afraid, because this Jesus is king. He has come to be king, and that means he's in charge. It means he looks after his people. It means that he protects his people. It means that he sees what they need, provides for what they need. He leads them, guides them, shields them, helps them in all things. He's the king. And so we rejoice in that this child who was born, he's king. It's his world. He runs this world. He knows how to do that. He knows how to look after us in our lives. He's come to be king in our lives. And that's the first reason why we are not to be afraid in our lives, because he is king. And so we're going to sing a song that reminds us that because that's the case, we're able to rejoice. We're able to have our joy in our hearts, no matter what our circumstances may be. They may be quite sad, our circumstances. They may be quite difficult, our circumstances. But whatever they may be, we don't face them alone. We've got with us a Jesus who is great, who's God, who's always there, and who is wonderfully kind. Joy has dawned. Let's stand and sing this now. Right. Now, this is kind of memory test time for you. So in order to get any sort of picture on the screen, we need, therefore, to be clear about the basic message that the angel brought to Joseph, to Mary, to the shepherds, and to you and me as well. A message from God himself to us. And that message is, 1, 2, 3. I just get that sense that the angel would have been kind of disappointed if that was how it came across. Kind of, do not be afraid, yeah. So I want, there's a measure of real authority. This is a message from God, a message of real urgency because we need to hear it, and a message of real excitement as well. So we'll kind of have take two on that. What did the angel say to Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds? The angel said, 1, 2, 3, do not be afraid. Okay, right, we got that. That's good. Now, part of the reason why we're not to be afraid is because this child who was born, Jesus, is the king. And he's great, and he's God, and he's always king, and he's remarkably kind. So he's king. But there's also something else that the angel said you need to understand about him. And in order to do this, we need to do our kind of baubling again and use our memories. So we are going to bring up a picture here of this guy. Put him on the screen for you. You never met him because you lived a long time before you were ever born. I never met him because you lived a long time before even I was born. Okay, so this is way, way back in history. There was a guy who was the Roman emperor. Remember? Rome, Italy, big empire stretching to the east and to the west. big, big empire, and we are told who this emperor was. What was the emperor's second name? All right, shout it out. 1, 2, 3. Augustus. Okay, so that's good. You remembered that. His second name was Augustus. Anyone here called Augustus? No? Interesting name. That name means simply increasing. That's what happens with a person whose name is Augustus. It's a Latin name, and it means simply someone whose influence, whose power, whose kingdom, whose empire is extending. And that's part of the reason why the Roman Empire thought, yeah, kind of good name to have, because that's what I want my empire to be. I want it to be increasing. So he is called Augustus. That's got that one on the board there. Now we're going to bring up another picture for you, okay? And this time we've got a map. And we were told something about the governor who kind of was underneath the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor couldn't be everywhere all the time. So he had different people to kind of do his business in different parts of the world. And there was a guy called Quirinius. No one here is called Quirinius. And he was governor of what part of the world? Sam? Syria, that's quite right. So Syria is where he was governor, and we'll put Syria, you can see on the map where it is. It's just kind of north of where Bethlehem and Jerusalem and Galilee are, way up in the north there, and the territory of Syria included all the bit beneath as well. So he was in charge of that whole area, and that's why he's mentioned there. Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now the next one, I had a little bit of a problem with this one. Okay, to get the next bit of the circles opened up for us, we're going to have a think about this particular lady now. All right, we'll put her on the screen for you. Anyone like to guess who that's meant to be? Any guesses? Chris, you can. Mary, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's Mary. And we have here a list now. It's a kind of multiple choice, this one for you. All right, you're going to have to choose which is the correct word that is used to describe it. You're going to have to think back not to what I read earlier on, but to the reading that Gail read even earlier. And this particular lady is described as a something. And we're going to put a list of names up for you. You're going to have a look at this on the screen now. Put them up for you. Was the word that is used to describe, or was it vermin, vessel, victim, or virgin? Okay, think carefully about this one. All right, we're not going to spend a long time on this, but we need the correct answer here. What is the correct word? What was described about her? Hannah. Virgin, absolutely right. So she is described in the first reading that Gail read earlier on, she's described as a virgin, which, cutting a long story short, means that it was a total miracle that she had a child. And we're meant to understand that it is God's doing, that he wonderfully and marvelously brought her into the place where she was able to have a child. So that's the virgin is the word. We'll put that on the screen for you as well there now and circle that word. That's what we're meant to understand. This is God's doing. God has stepped in and God has done something quite amazing. And that's why it's mentioned that that's who she is and that's what she is. And then now have a little think about the actual baby that was born, okay? So we'll put him on the screen there. Now, this is real eyesight test for you. There are a load of different names given to him that are scribbled on that crib there. All sorts of different names that are given to him. Hands up, you can see any of the names that are written on the screen. Yeah, that's good. Okay, some of your eyesight is improving as you've been sitting through the service, because that's actually even tougher than the first one. But there is one name there that we've already had in the previous time I was chatting to you. What is that name? It's a kind of up and down name. Sam, you got it, have you? Emmanuel, that's quite right. Hands up, you can see Emmanuel. We'll put it on the screen for you so you can see where it is. Emmanuel's a kind of up and down one there. There's a load of different ways in which this Jesus is described. He's the Son of the Most High God. He's Jesus. He is the prophet. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he is also Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? Who can tell me what Emmanuel means? What does Emmanuel mean? We had that earlier as well. Hands up, you know what Emmanuel means. Look up there. Turn around, see, read off the top there. Yes. God with us, absolutely right. Always, if you get any doubts ever, you just look up and look at the window and remind yourself that's the truth about him. He is God with us. He is Emmanuel. And so we put that on the screen as well. And again, we've got these letters down the left-hand side. And what does that spell at the left-hand side? S-A-V-I. It's only four letters, unfortunately. You can read those four letters. We'll kind of put them in a straight line for you, and you'll begin to see the four letters there, S-A-V-I, spelled out there. But obviously, four letters is not big enough. That was my problem. And who can tell me what's missing from that word? Shout it out all two together. One, two, three. R. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, you sound like you're from the West Country. R. Yeah. And when everyone does it, it kind of sounds like we've kind of come to a convention down in Wiltshire or something like that. Everyone's saying R. That's quite right. That's what's missed out. And of course, that's really what the Bible is underlining for us, that Jesus is no use to anyone unless he is our Savior and our King. And that's why the shepherds, they didn't just listen to the message and think, well, it's kind of interesting to find that a Savior has been born. They said, no, we got to see this for ourselves. We want to meet this Savior. We want to know this Savior. And so they went to Bethlehem. They went off from looking after the sheep. They went down to the center of Bethlehem, and where Jesus was, they found the baby in the manger, and they realized what the angel had said was indeed the truth, that today, the angel had said, today a Savior has been born to you. A Savior is simply someone who rescues you, who saves you, who comes to your help, whatever the problems may be. And we have a lot of problems. Some of them are kind of small, some of them medium-sized, but some of the problems that we have in life are big, big problems. And he's come in order to help us and to rescue us from those problems that we have. We have a real problem with the fact that all of us have kind of gone wrong in our lives. We make bad decisions, we speak out of turn, and we do things that are selfish, self-centered, we tell lies, and just a multitude of different things. We just get wrong before God. The Bible calls that all sin, when we put ourselves first, and we need forgiveness. How do we get forgiveness from a God who is altogether righteous? Jesus provides that forgiveness. He's able to get us out of that scrape. We all will die. We don't want to die. Jesus comes in order to beat death for us. We don't have an answer to that, but he does, and he comes to rescue. He's come to be the Savior, the one who rescues. And so what the angel is saying, listen, you don't need to be afraid because this Jesus has been born, and he is to be our Savior. He is to be our King. And when we, each one, recognize him as such and say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord and King in my life, then we discover that he is indeed well able to help us with all the problems that we have, all the needs that there may be. He is our King. He leads us, guides us, helps us. He comes to our rescue. He is the Savior, and he is the King. And all the way through the Bible, that's really what God means us simply to understand. He makes a difference to our lives, to our world, and to our living because of who he is. He is great. He is God with us. He is never-ending, and he is altogether kind, and he's come to be our Savior, come to rescue us. And as we know him as our King, we discover that he is indeed that Savior as well. And so the challenge always for us every Christmas and pretty much every day of our lives is simply to recognize what God has given to us in Jesus, his Son, and to recognize that unless he becomes our King, unless he becomes our Savior, it doesn't really make sense. It's just a kind of story from a long time ago. S-A-V-I doesn't really spell anything. It needs our at the end. Then he becomes Savior, as he is our Savior, our King. We make him our own. And at Christmas, afresh, as we're reminded of what happened, and reminded of the shepherds going to Bethlehem, God says, so you go too, and you own him and honor him as King. Now, for those of you who are kind of worried about your short-sightedness, and this, the children especially, I do have some sheets here you can take away with you that have on them a picture of the the Christmas tree with the baubles, and you'll be able to recognise, I can see the letters now, and you can take these and colour in the picture of Bethlehem, because God means us to go to Bethlehem, to go and make him our own as well. And as we prepare just for our final hymn, let's just bow for a moment in prayer. God in heaven, thank you again for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the message that the angel brought again and again and again. Do not be afraid. Sometimes we really need that. And so I want to ask that you would impress that message on our hearts, especially if there are things that we are worried about, things that we are fearful about and that make us a little bit scared. Would you help us to hear your message? Would you help us to recognize your gift in Jesus? And would you help us to take that step that the shepherds took and make him our own, to know him as our King day by day in our lives, and to discover for ourselves what a wonderful Savior he is. Thank you, God, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.